From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, Merry Christmas, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, despite the outward signs of joy and celebration, Christmas can be a time of loneliness and even despair for many, which only magnifies a growing problem in America. Last month, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention released an alarming report on the continued decline of life expectancy in the U.S. Now, according to the CDC, the decline is being driven in large part to drug overdoses, deaths caused by drug overdoses, and suicides. Now, Dr. David Stevens, CEO of the Christian Medical Association, will join me in just a moment with a deeper look at the numbers from the CDC and what they mean. We'll also talk with FRC's Peter Spring about the prevalence of suicide, especially among young people, and the contributing factors. And then we'll put all of these facts and figures together with FRC Senior Vice President Harold Harper, a pastoral counselor, and talk about what's missing. Why, in a nation that is enjoying greater prosperity and comfort than really any people in the history of the world, why are drug overdoses and suicides taking so many lives? We'll talk about that on this special edition of Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. By the way, let me remind you still, up until the end of the year, we have a challenge match that has been put together by some of our generous donors, $500,000 to match what you give. If you give $100, it'll be doubled to $200. So to make a contribution, to stand with the Family Research Council, which brings you Washington Watch. And by the way, the only reason Washington Watch continues on the 275 stations or so that it's on across America is because of folks like you. So go to frc.org/2018 to donate. That's frc.org/2018 to stand with the Family Research Council as we go into 2019. All right. For a nation that spends more on health care per citizen than almost any other, life expectancy has been steadily climbing for decades now. But in the last few years, it's taken a troubling turn in the other direction. Overall, there were more than 2.8 million U.S. deaths in 2017, or nearly 70,000 more than the previous year. Now, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reported this last month, and it was the most deaths in a single year since the government began counting more than a century ago. With us now is Dr. David Stevens. He's the CEO of Christian Medical and Dental Association and the author of Jesus, M.D. Dr. Stevens, welcome to Washington Watch.
Great to be with you, Tony.
Now, I'm just going to have to ask you straight, I'm going to jump right into this, Dr. Stevens. What's driving the decline in the life expectancy rate in America? I mean, we've got all this stuff. We've got health care. We've got all these things that should be keeping life, the numbers growing, life expectancy increasing, but we're moving the other direction. What's behind it?
Well, we've been moving the other direction pretty much for the last 3 out of 4 years. In fact, we haven't seen that trend going back to the 1916, 17, 18, when there was the huge flu epidemic. And the interesting thing is this is happening mainly among younger people and middle-aged people. And two issues, the drug overdose issue, and this is unintentional overdoses, and then, of course, suicide, which can be by any means, but sometimes by drug overdose as well. And these numbers have really continued to just go higher and higher. Last year, over 70,000 deaths attributed to drug overdose, and about 43,000-45,000 due to suicide. So this is significant. For years, we continued to see the life expectancy increase because of bigger gains in cardiac disease and cancer, where we were doing a better job. But now these are peaking out so much that they're actually increasing the death rate and taking off about 1 to 1.5 months of life expectancy for a baby born in 2017.
Now, you mentioned accidental drug overdoses. That now accounts for more than a third of the unintentional injury deaths. And intentional drug overdoses account for about a tenth of the suicide. So this, the whole issue with drugs, and I know a lot of this is being driven by opioids, this has become a major problem when we talk about life expectancy in America.
It does, and the biggest one being abused is fentanyl, and that's an opioid, morphine-like drug, but it's synthetic. It's 50 to 100% times more potent than morphine, and oftentimes it's mixed with heroin or cocaine. Some people don't even know they're getting it. A lot of it's being smuggled into the country, even mailed into the country, in large quantities and being sold on the street. And this stuff is extremely potent. It's very easy to overdose with it, much more than with heroin or morphine or some of these other drugs. Last year, there was a 45% increase in deaths from fentanyl. So this is one of the big ones that really need to be focused on.
And a lot of that fentanyl, the synthetic drug, they're coming from China. And I understand that the president actually had, in some of his conversations with China over trade, this is something I think China now is being kind of forced to pressured into cracking down on, the illegal sale of fentanyl.
Yeah, there's a lot of money to be made, and that's, of course, what drives each of these drugs. Opioids can cause addiction where people are driven to get more of it, and you build up tolerance, and you need higher and higher doses to get the same effect. And sometimes people change from one drug to another, and that's when the overdose occurs, the unintentional one, because they are not used to the fentanyl. They were taking heroin or they were taking something else, and they're getting a much higher dose than they thought or a much higher potency than they thought. So all these things contribute to the problem. And then suicide is the other side of it, and that's intentional. I think, there's just more hopelessness in the United States. The interesting thing, though, Tony, is it's happening greater in rural areas than it is in urban areas. And some of the more states like Utah and Idaho and other places like that where you would think, well, that wouldn't be the problem. It'd be in the big city. But it's happening in those states as well as places like Pennsylvania and West Virginia and Ohio. And so this is a growing problem, and I think there are a lot of reasons for it. One thing that's not being talked about, obviously, is that we're glorifying suicide with physician-assisted suicide being legalized in this country, and there's a suicide contagion. We've got great data to show that as people commit suicide, especially young people, tend to imitate. Other people got attention because they did this, even though they killed themselves, so I'll take my life as well and make a statement. So there's a lot of things going on here that is really troubling as we look across our country.
And that is very troubling, I think, Dr. Stevens. And I'm going to talk more about that later in the program, about, in a nation that is enjoying unprecedented levels of prosperity, where we enjoy things that people only dreamt of in times past, there's a still this almost epidemic level of hopelessness, and something's missing. We're going to talk about that later. I want to you mentioned the rural areas, the South, life expectancy in the South much shorter than the rest of the country. What's behind that? Is that primarily the drug addiction issue? What is that?
I think in some of the more rural areas, there's more social isolation and less community. People are further apart. There's less mental health services. We're having a real problem with mental health services all across the country.
Yeah.
Fewer people going into that specialty in psychiatry or even psychology, and difficult to get appointments and be seen. Without close community and family, people aren't recognized for what's going on early enough. And I think, too, the big things in suicide are difficulty in relationships, financial problems, other things like that that cause people to despair and take their own lives. And depression, that's untreated oftentimes and unrecognized in people that take this step.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Kind of going a deep dive today on this issue. Came out last month. The CDC, the last 2 years, we're seeing a decline in the life expectancy, last three out of the 4 years, a trend that we've not seen in probably 100 years. Dr. Stevens, as we look at some of the two contributing factors, as we talked about the drug overdoses, which comes from drug addictions, and then we look at the suicides, what should people be looking for in family and friends that might display certain behaviors that would suggest that they might need some help?
Well, especially with younger people or those of college age, you see decreased interest in and what they're doing or not doing well at it in school or education, more social isolation, hanging around with people that you're concerned about if they're young people. And then some of this is kind of, we have to be cautious ourselves, because a good part of this is people getting hold of other people's opioids. You got a prescription for your surgery or something where you really needed pain relief, and that's setting up in the cabinet, and other people get into it, especially teenagers and young adults. And so you've got to be very concerned to keep that type of thing locked up, realizing how deadly that can be. And often once they get it started that way, then they love the feeling, the euphoria, helping their emotional state, or taking care of some pain or whatever they have, and then start seeking this to get that feeling again, which leads to an addiction and then just more reinforcement as they get more of it and go to harder and harder drugs. The other thing we're seeing, too, is marijuana use is an introduction to harder drugs, and there's good data to point out as when kids get on that or even adults and start taking more and more marijuana, then they want to take the next step, and that's often into the opioids. So a lot of factors there. But if you see changes in behavior, that's a concern. Money's being stolen, another concern. Somebody's trying to finance their habit. For suicide, social isolation, not wanting to be with people, loss of appetite or increased appetite, sleeping more, sleeping less, all those things can be signs of depression, difficult coping at work or losing jobs. Any kind of an event can precipitate this type of behavior, and that's when family and friends need to come along and support and encourage. And one quick question is to ask, have you ever felt like harming yourself? And if people don't just jump right in and say, no, not never that, you need to start being concerned that this may be something under consideration and you need to get professional help.
Conversations are important. Caring enough to ask those questions, extremely important. Almost out of time, Dr. Stevens, but I want to quickly ask you, I mean, there seems to be a greater preoccupation with health, even though the life expectancy rate is declining. You would think people are eating healthier, less smokers. I mean, is that all true? We're trying to pursue a healthier lifestyle than in times past?
Some are, but obesity is an epidemic in this country, and that's the reason we're seeing so much cardiac disease, still number one killer in this country. Hypertension, hypercholesterol, all the other things, diabetes, that lead to this. So we're doing a better job treating those, and we're teaching healthy diets. But when you look at us compared to other countries, that's still the biggest killer in the United States. Cancer's actually not killing as many people, and we're having more success every year. So we need to praise God for that, but focus on some of these other issues as well.
So maybe a little less eating, a little more exercise.
Amen to that.
All right, Dr. David Stevens, thank you so much for joining us, CEO of Christian Medical Association. Merry Christmas, Dr. Stevens.
Thank you so much. Same to you.
All right, folks, don't go away. When we come back, we're going to focus in on this issue of suicide, which is really serious among young people. And that's what's driving down the life expectancy rate, because it's not the older people that are dying. It's the younger people in middle age. Suicide being a factor. FRC's Peter Sprigg joins us next to talk about this issue of suicide. Don't go away. More Washington Watch to come.
This Christmas, give a gift with purpose. Your gift to Family Research Council enables us to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. Together, we will work to ensure religious liberty for all Americans is upheld, unborn babies in the womb are protected, and biblical values are honored in our country. Your giving can make an eternal difference for your community and for future generations. And if you give between now and December 31st to FRC, your gift will be doubled by a generous challenge match. Any donation is tax deductible. Be fruitful in your gift giving this season. Call 1-800-225-4008. Or visit frc.org/2018 to donate. Again, that number is 1-800-225-4008 and frc.org/2018. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a Merry Christmas and a Blessed New Year.
We're inviting you to join other like-minded people and become a Stan member. We want to build stronger relationships with listeners like you and provide resources to strengthen your faith and equip you to stand for the values that matter to you of life, marriage, and religious freedom. By joining this growing network of engaged believers, you'll receive a copy of Tony Perkins' book, No Fear, detailing courageous Christians standing for truth. And for a limited time this month, we will also send you a copy of Pastor Carter Conlon's book, It's Time to Pray, that illustrates how God's power can change everything. Take action today and become an FRC Stan member for $17 a month. That's just 56 cents a day. To join, call 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/stan. That's 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/stan. Thank you for partnering with us. The world on our horizon isn't like the days I knew. Gone are the days of writing with fresh ink on thick paper and the swift crack of a letter opener. Homemade meals now replaced by fancy robots trying to figure out how often I buy organic goji berries. I don't even know what a goji berry is. My church started offering free Wi-Fi and changed their name from First Baptist to Radiant Water Life something or other. They even started posting video sermons recorded on wood pallet backgrounds that sync directly to a Dropbox that I have yet to locate. Thankfully, there's a silver lining to all this newfangled technology. Family Research Council's Stand Firm app. Put down your quill and contact your legislators directly from your smartphone or tablet. Share legislative alerts with your contacts and connect with like-minded Christians about the latest current events. Read the Washington Update and listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. This thing's got it all, buddy boy. Keep your cool and help secure our future at frc.org/app.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host, and so glad that you've chosen to join us today. The website is tonyperkins.com. As we approach the end of the year, let me remind you, we are obviously the end of the year. Into the calendar year is very important for us when it comes to our budget for 2019. And we have some donors that have put forward a very generous challenge match. And they want to challenge you to give. And everything that you give, they will double up to $500,000 so that we can end the year strong. So if you would please prayerfully consider partnering with the Family Research Council Washington Watch. This program is made possible because of folks like you around this country that care enough, number one, to listen, but number two, to support Washington Watch. So you can give online. Go to frc.org/2018 to make your year-end contribution, which will be doubled. All right. As we were talking in the previous segment with Dr. Stevens, suicide was the second leading cause of death among 10 to 24-year-olds in 2016. That was up from third place in earlier years, according to the CDC. Now, this is what's driving the downward move of life expectancy, that along with the drug overdoses, the deaths by drug overdoses. Now, the suicide death rate last year was the highest it's been in at least 50 years. That's according to government records. There were more than 47,000 suicides, up from a little under 45,000 the year before. Joining us now is Peter Sprigg, Senior Fellow for Policy Studies here at the Family Research Council in Washington. Peter, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony.
Now, I want to focus in on this issue of teen suicide because, you know, we expect older people to die. But with this really peak in the number of deaths in America, driving down the life expectancy, what's happening? It's middle age and younger adolescents who are taking their own lives. Why do young people, why do we see this increasing trend towards suicide?
Well, that's the big question, and I'm not sure that researchers really know the answer to that with the you know, with certainty. Obviously, every suicide is different. Every person has a unique situation. But young people are particularly vulnerable because it's a time of life when they're trying to wrestle with who they are and so forth, with developing a confident sense of their own identity. And this is a time when they're going to be vulnerable to mental health issues and to suicide. I thought about different possibilities. Actually, my wife, in discussing this story, suggested a possibility. She asked if social media might have something to do with it. You have this increasing trend of cyberbullying and so forth, where people are able to basically engage in cruelty while hiding behind a keyboard or something, and in ways that maybe they wouldn't have done in the past face to face. It's possible that that might be one factor at work here.
Yeah, I think clearly social media is a factor. Let's talk for just a moment about the bullying, because that is a I've seen it. I mean, it's not new. It's been around. But as you say, the tools through which people can bully with almost anonymity have increased with social media and other forms. First off, I mean, I want to talk about the preventative side, because I think parents need to be watching the behavior of their children, A, to make sure they're not being bullied, and if they are, to come alongside them, but also, B, to make sure their children are not bullying other children.
Well, absolutely. And, I think that there is you and I would probably share the conviction that there is a moral element in this, and that people need to be taught to treat one another with love and dignity and respect, and people need to be taught to have belief in themselves because of their being loved by God and because of their being created in the image of God, that should give us a sense of value that would help be a preventive force against suicide.
So when you get into the bullying aspects, there's the emotional causes, obviously, that young people, as you said, uncertain. It's an uncertain time of life, but there's a very, I guess, a very limited frame of reference, and they almost feel as if there is no way out. And then, as Dr. Stevens was talking earlier, that we've somewhat, Hollywood and others have kind of glamorized suicide.
Well, yes, there's a tremendous controversy about a show, I believe it's on Netflix now, called 13 Reasons, and it's actually about young people committing suicide and giving the reasons why. The 13 reasons are reasons why they would commit suicide. And a lot of us in the pro-family movement and our friends at Parents Television Council and so forth have been very critical of this particular series, because it actually may contribute to what's called suicide contagion. Sadly, when one person in a circle of friends or something commits suicide, it is almost gives permission to others to consider this as an option.
And as we were speaking earlier with Dr. Stevens, it's important to have. We weren't speaking specifically about teens, but just suicide in general. But as parents, it's extremely important to be having conversations with your kids and watching for behavior that would suggest maybe depression, responding to being bullied or something, so that you can help them through these difficult times.
Well, yes. And one thing, you know, looking at these statistics, it's very disturbing, but if there's a silver lining, it's that most suicide attempts are unsuccessful.
Hey, Peter, we're up against a break. I want to ask you to hold on so we can finish this conversation on the other side of the break, okay?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. All right, folks, Peter's sticking around. I hope you will as well. We're going to finish this conversation. Then we're going to go to a deeper level of why. Why is this all happening? That's coming up on this edition of Washington Watch. Don't go away.
This Christmas, give a gift with purpose. Your gift to Family Research Council enables us to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. Together, we will work to ensure religious liberty for all Americans is upheld, unborn babies in the womb are protected, and biblical values are honored in our country. Your giving can make an eternal difference for your community and for future generations. And if you give between now and December 31st to FRC, your gift will be doubled by a generous challenge match. Any donation is tax deductible. Be fruitful in your gift giving this season. Call 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/2018 to donate. Again, that number is 1-800-225-4008 and frc.org/2018. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a Merry Christmas and a Blessed New Year.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
I'm Tony Perkins, and you are listening to Washington Watch. Merry Christmas. The website is tonyperkins.com. All right, doing something this week that we don't always do, kind of going a little deeper into some of the issues. And this was one that caught my attention last month when the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention came out, showing that once again, the life expectancy rate in the United States was declining. Now, this comes despite the fact that we spend more money per capita on health care than any other country in the world. We have all of these things. And what's leading, you know, at the top is deaths by drug overdoses and suicide. Now, it's not the older people. It is the middle age and then the adolescents, taking their lives. And so we're talking about that. I'm talking with Peter Sprigg, Senior Fellow for Policy Studies here at the Family Research Council. Now, Peter, we were talking about these warning signs, having conversations with kids. I want to go to something we're often, you know, one of the issues we're constantly dealing with here is human sexuality. And there's been a big push by those that are trying to redefine human sexuality, saying that we need to affirm behaviors that often lead to self-destructive activities, including suicide, and that is the issue, the transgender issue. Many are saying that the reason young people are committing suicide is because they're not being accepted or affirmed in their, I would just say, sexual confusion. But there's nothing to suggest that's the case. In fact, it would be the opposite, would it not?
Well, yes. I mean, the fact that suicide rates have increased by 33% in the last 18 years, even though the acceptance of LGBT identities and individuals and so forth has obviously greatly increased in our society. So it can't be because stigma or discrimination are growing. They're obviously shrinking in our society, and yet the suicide rates are increasing. Now the particular data that the CDC just released didn't include information on gender identity or sexual orientation. But I think that those overall numbers suggest that the explanation offered by LGBT activists that somehow this is a result of stigma and discrimination is wrong. And I suspect that the exact opposite may be the case, that there is inherently a high rate of suicide among homosexual identified and transgender identified individuals, and that if we are encouraging more people to identify in that way, one consequence will be more suicide. And if especially we're telling them that they have no option, that this is how they were born, that they can't change, there's no therapy available to help them to change and stabilize, then some may be driven to despair by that. So I think that's a very different viewpoint from what the LGBT activists will tell you, but it's just as valid based on the evidence.
Well, when you consider that the suicides have become the second leading cause of death among teenagers in the United States, surpassing homicide deaths. And so what's happened during this time, as we've seen these trends, as you point out, the last couple of decades, one of the things that, in addition to the whole issue of the sexual revolution confusion that's taking place, is that we've moved away from the idea that we are created in the image of God and that each and every human being has value because they're created in the image of God. And in fact, we're at a point now where you basically can define yourself. We think we can create ourselves and create our own gender by our choices. And that creates this internal conflict because we're in conflict with our Creator. And I would think that it's going to be very – I don't care who affirms you or what environment you're living in, you're not going to be at peace.
Right. And the one significant academic study we've pointed to is one that came out of Sweden, which showed that among people who actually had gender reassignment surgery, so they actually had all of the medical treatments that they, you know, seek in this kind of situation, that even after that, they had a rate of completed suicides that was 19 times higher than the general Swedish population. So obviously, those treatments were not helping to reduce the suicide rate, and that was one of the best studies on this subject that's been done.
Well, regardless, there is clearly a crisis in America when it comes to the issue of suicide, despite the fact that we have access to things people never even envisioned having access to. We enjoy prosperity, comfort that the world only dreamt of, but yet we've devalued life. Peter Sprague, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Tony.
All right. Merry Christmas there, Peter. All right. Coming up next, why? Why is this happening? Why, as I said, in a nation that is the most prosperous, the most blessed in the history of the world, where you have almost everything at your fingertips, more knowledge, more conveniences, a higher quality of life, but yet people are throwing that life away. Drug addiction that's leading to death. Suicide. We're going to talk about that when we come back with Harold Harper, pastoral counselor, chief of staff here at the Family Research Council. Don't go away. Back after this.
The world on our horizon isn't like the days I knew. Gone are the days of writing with fresh ink on thick paper and the swift crack of a letter opener. Homemade meals now replaced by fancy robots trying to figure out how often I buy organic goji berries. I don't even know what a goji berry is. My church started offering free Wi-Fi and changed their name from First Baptist to Radiant Water Life something or other. They even started posting video sermons recorded on wood pallet backgrounds that sync directly to a Dropbox that I have yet to locate. Thankfully, there's a silver lining to all this newfangled technology. Family Research Council's Stand Firm app. Put down your quill and contact your legislators directly from your smartphone or tablet. Share legislative alerts with your contacts and connect with like-minded Christians about the latest current events. Read the Washington Update and listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. This thing's got it all, buddy boy. Keep your cool and help secure our future at frc.org/app.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
This Christmas, give a gift with purpose. Your gift to Family Research Council enables us to advance faith, family, and freedom. Together, we will work to protect life, marriage, and religious liberty in our country. If you give before December 31st to FRC, your gift will be doubled. Be fruitful in your gift giving this season. Call 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/2018. FRC wishes you and your family a Merry Christmas and a Blessed New Year.
Don't miss your opportunity to join other like-minded people and become an FRC Stand member. Join today and you'll receive empowering resources like Tony Perkins' book, No Fear, and for a limited time, Pastor Carter Conlon's book, It's Time to Pray. So become an FRC Stand member for $17 a month. That's just 56 cents a day. To join, call 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/stand. Thank you for partnering with us for the sake of America.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. Take a look in the 5 and 10, glistening once again with candy.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Merry Christmas. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along. The website, TonyPerkins.com. And again, if you'd like to partner with us as we come toward the end of the year, we've got a very generous challenge match that has been put forward by some donors that everything you give between now and the end of the year will be doubled. So go to frc.org/2018 to make your contribution or go to TonyPerkins.com. All right. This topic, as you can tell, I'm spending the entire program on it, is it just caught my attention. When I read the article, I think it was in the New York Times, regarding the CDC report that the life expectancy for the last 2 years, it actually declined and it kind of leveled off, I think, in 2016, then started down again. So, I mean, 3 out of the last 4 years. Why? Why in a nation that, life expectancy declining, and the reason why, the lion's share of it is because people are throwing away their lives with drug addiction. They're taking their lives by suicide. Why? Why in a nation that, is so blessed? We've got stuff everywhere. You go back to the Great Society. If we just had enough stuff, people would be okay. You have access to more now than kings and queens had in times past. But yet, something's missing. What is it? Well, joining us now to talk about that is Harold Harper. He is Senior Vice President here and Chief of Staff, a pastoral counselor with a focus on marriage and family counseling. He's here. He wants me to lay down on the couch so he can talk to me, but I'm not I'm not going to do it.
We don't use the couch anymore. We don't do that
anymore. You don't do that anymore?
Mm-hmm, no.
Okay. Coffee shop?
Yeah, actually, lots of coffee. It's an interesting topic. I've been listening to the program, and I think a lot of your guests are kind of missing the root issue. I think it does come back to the church and laying down that spiritual foundation at a very young age. You and I both have young men in our homes around 10 years of age, and it's right at that age where they need to have some core truths laid down of who their identity, where their identity comes from, and that comes from Christ. And so I think without that foundation, you see so many young people struggling, especially with the home. I mean, the attacks on the family from the enemy as far as the breakdown of the family, spiritual warfare of the family, divorce in the home. So the parents in certain cases are not modeling the love of the Father in heaven.
Okay, well, let's start. I'm going to segment this conversation. Let's start with the vast majority of our listeners that are I would say are Christian or in churches. They're oriented toward that. I not all are probably believers, and we'll give them a chance to become one before the program's over here. But let's talk first to them. The importance of their role as a parent, helping their children have that identity in Christ, and not allowing the Sunday school teacher, not allowing the teacher at school or their peers to be the one that that formulates that sense of identity.
Right. I think it happens easily even in the Christian home because of just the way the culture is, the way our world is. You know, we live, particularly as young men, and that's my focus primarily. I counsel men and disciple young men. And from early on, you start with a performance-based mindset. We have that in the elementary school. Those who do well achieve to the top. We see that in the sports side. And so my son was very active in sports, and it was a very good thing for him. But all along, I made sure to lay down a foundation that his value, my view of him, did not depend on how well he played a sports game or how well he did in school. So it's important to lay down a strong foundation that your identity is in Christ. Jeremiah 1, God has a purpose and a plan for your life, and it's not dependent upon your GPA or your
That's a relief to me.
Yeah, me too. And I think we're part of the proof of that, you know, that God has a plan. And I think, you know, we used to hear this back when Dr. Dobson was on Focus on the Family, talking about it's important to raise your child by the way he or she is bent. And so you see that, you begin to see that early on. I know we see it in our boys. You know, you know those certain things that they're drawn to, and all of those are gifts by God. I think it's real important to lay down that foundation that a young child's worth comes from who they are in Christ, that they were created by God with a plan and purpose for their life.
Now, I'm going to say something controversial, which I'm not prone to controversy. So what we're saying here, when you – again, speaking to our audience here, it's not about just providing the material things for our children, and making sure that they're able to go to a nice private school or that we're saving up for their tuition. And so, you know, we're giving them all these things, and we have more things now than we've ever had before. It's not about things.
Right.
It's about investing in their lives in discipleship and training, and this takes time.
It does, and I think, you know, as a pastor and being – both of us have been on church staff. You were pastoring for a while. You know, we get focused on certain things even in the church. I think we have to make sure that particularly the men in our church are really intentional about pouring this truth into their children. I think it's important to have programs in the church that focus on family discipleship and also making sure – that the kids are not just having a good time, and we're all for that. I love it that my son wants to go back to church. You know, he's looking forward to going because he it's fun for him to learn about God's word. But that we're laying down certain core truths early on in their life that are foundational truths, bedrock truths,
to contradict some of the things that they're going to run into as they grow up. Their worth is not based solely on how they perform. I think that is one of the bigger things. As I'm counseling now, college students or young adults, newly married, you see even some of that is the root problem, which is not what we've, you know, one of your guests earlier, we're not really necessarily talking about the root problem. You can hide some of these prescription pills to make sure your teenagers don't get into them, and I'm all for that. But the question is, why is your teenager wanting to get into this? It's because there's a void there.
The issue, as we looked at the numbers, and the numbers don't lie, is becoming a greater problem. But the culture has become darker. Mm-hmm. Truth has been pushed out.
Right.
So first off, as Christian parents, we've got to be more intentional in both protecting our children and instructing our children and making sure they have the foundation. But I also want to address the larger issue in our culture, because these are neighbors. This happened in my neighborhood where we're currently living while we're rebuilding our home. A neighbor overdosed on drugs, mm-hmm. Right there. And we're in it's a blue-collar working neighborhood, nice neighborhood, but this is everywhere.
Right.
We have, as Christians, this is one of the reasons we're involved in the whole policy and the culture things, is that the further we push God out of our public square and remove him, especially from our schools and from the awareness of our children, so that they never even hear the idea that they're created in the image of God. I'm not talking about the kids that go to Sunday school and whose parents are in mm-hmm. church, but there used to be an understanding that there was a God and he created us. We've rejected our whole concept, and I would argue that this is the consequence.
Right. I totally agree. I think it's real important that we model that to even our neighbors. You know, that I typically am discipling young men in a coffee shop, and I remember distinctly there was someone behind the counter who clearly was lost, struggling, just through a few conversations could tell that he had been caught up in the culture. And as he got to know me and watched me consistently coming in and meeting with other young men, we started a certain conversation, just kind of got to know one another. He found out that we were in the process of adopting a young boy from China. That's our son. And he really lit into me as to why in the world would you go to China to adopt a child? And I explained our process, and he just got very, very angry, and he said, "There are so many young men in this country that would die to have a father like you." And so, you know, it gave me an opportunity to kind of talk to him about who I am and what's – but he saw me. The reason I think he was drawn to me is because clearly we have our Bibles out. We're in the coffee shop, and there's clearly a bond, and there's multiple, you know, people coming in and out over a course of a week, you know. As a pastor, I was meeting with several of these young men, and the guys behind the counter were watching that. And I can't tell you how many times many of them said, "Hey, do you have some time that I can talk with you?" You know, and we would have an opportunity. So I think that's part of being engaged in the culture. You've said this before. We don't need to totally unplug of the culture. We need to be out there modeling this in front of our neighbors and living a life, a contagious life, not just a religious life, not just the fact that they see us dress up and go to church on Sunday, but that there's something different. There's a light, you know, in this particular house, that there's something. I think that's what I think we've gotten mixed up in what it means to be a true follower of Christ versus what does it mean to be a religious family. You know, our kids don't need religion. They don't need a catechism. They don't need a program. They need to see in mom and dad that we're living out our faith, that my greatest love is my relationship with my Heavenly Father, and that my kids know that I'm not doing it just out of discipline. There's nothing wrong with that, but there's something in me that they want that in themselves, and their friends want that as well.
And it's reflected in your relationship with them.
Right.
your relationship with your Heavenly Father affects your relationship
sure.
with Him, and they see that.
And we're supposed to model that. That's part of the problem is that many dads that I'm dealing with from time to time have been so caught up in their own self that they're not modeling that to their children. I think that is the picture of how God intended it. So that the dads are we're receiving that from our Heavenly Father, and then we're passing it on to our children.
I think some fathers, Harold Harper, I'll make sure I throw that name out there, Harold Harper, is chief of staff here at the Family Research Council, a pastoral counselor trained in marriage and family counseling. Some fathers I can't do it, so why try? So they just kind of advocate that role to either the mother, to the teacher, to the peers, because they just don't feel like they can measure up.
Right. I think what happens is there is a stage where you sort of lose that window, not that it's totally closed. I think the best thing is to start when they're really, really young. And just meet them at their level. Right now, our son is really pushing himself super hard with school, very competitive, our youngest son. And so I've got to come alongside and remind him that my value of my opinion of him, my love for him is not conditioned on how well he does in the classroom. And so that's a very simple way. We're not getting out our Bible at that point. We're just talking about how was your day today? And he's saying, it was a rough day. I said, really? What? Tell me about it. And he's telling me how stressful a test was. And you could just see. And we're grateful to have a son that takes his school this seriously. Our other two children didn't. But this particular one, grades are real important to him. This, and so I'm seeing, as a dad, I'm seeing an idol, what we would call scripturally an idol popping up in his heart. It's not that I want to discourage him from studying. It's not that I want, we're going to continue to do that. We're just going to make sure that he doesn't need to push himself so hard for our sake or even for his own sake, if that makes sense.
Harold, almost out of time. I want to make sure any other aspects of this when we look at what's very evident to me is that all the things that we have, something's still missing, and Americans need to find it, and it's found in a relationship with Jesus Christ.
That's right, and so that's the most important thing. The Scripture says that He says, "I've come that you might have life and have it to the full." And to have the best possible life you can have, which, I think that appeals to some of our friends or neighbors that are searching for the meaning of life.
But he also said in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all of these things, which actually he listed all of the necessities of life before that. They'll be added unto you.
That's right. And so it's all in him. It's rooted in him. Christ is the only one that can meet your needs. And I think that is part of the root problem is that we're looking to other things to meet our needs, and we're not looking to how we're created. The void in our heart can only be filled by Christ. So I think even in marriage, God's going to meet our spouse's needs. It's all, though, through him and through his word.
Harold Harper, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
And Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Folks, sorry, out of time. Thanks so much for joining us. Until next time, I leave you with the words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you could do, when you've prayed, prepared, and taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit tonyperkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-472-5792. 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.